I didn't really need to do that, but become a habit after 3.5 years. Welcome, and thank you to those of you who are here this evening to join with us for this Monroe City Council meeting for July 2nd, 2013. At this time, I would like to call the meeting to order and ask if Edie would take a roll call, please.
Councilperson Gary.
Here.
Cutterback.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Campbell.
Here.
Hanford.
Here.
Thank you. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item this evening is a proclamation that I would like to share. And this is in recognition, or it's actually a designation, of July as Park and Recreation Month. And so if you allow me, here's the proclamation. Whereas parks and recreation programs are an integral part of communities throughout this country, including Monroe, Washington, and whereas our parks and recreation are vitally important to establishing and maintaining the quality of life in our communities, ensuring the health of all citizens, and contributing to the economic and environmental well-being of our community and region. And whereas parks and recreation programs build healthy, active communities that aid in the prevention of chronic disease, provide therapeutic recreation services for those who are mentally or physically disabled, and also improve the mental and emotional health of all citizens. And whereas parks and recreation programs increase the community's economic prosperity through increased property values, expansion of the local tax base, increased tourism, the attraction and retention of businesses, and crime reduction. And whereas parks and recreation areas are fundamental to the environmental well-being of our community. And whereas parks and natural recreation areas improve water quality, protect groundwater, prevent flooding, improve the quality of the air we breathe, provide vegetative buffers to development, and produce habitat for wildlife. And whereas our parks and natural recreation areas ensure the ecological beauty of our community and provide a place for children and adults to connect with nature and recreate outdoors. And whereas the U.S. House of Representatives has designated July as Parks and Recreation Month, and whereas the City Council recognizes the benefits derived from parks and recreation resources, now therefore be it resolved by the Monroe City Council that July is recognized as Park and Recreation Month in the City of Monroe, Washington. Thank you. Well, with that, let me just say Mike Farrell, who's here this evening, and members of the park, let's see a couple of they're up enjoying the parks. Well, Mike, this season has started out wonderfully well. The weather has been more than cooperative. We've had two or three great events so far. It was at the Tri-Monroe Triathlon. The baseball tournament was that same weekend, I believe. And I missed the Northwest Riders this past week because it was traveling. But a lot of great reviews. Hats off to you for what you've done and for the many wonderful events that we have planned for this summer. We've got a great list of things for our citizens to participate in. So just hats off to you and the Parks Department for the great work that you've done. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Nobody's going to clap. I'd clap for them. Very good. Thank you. Well, we have before us this evening, and first off, and I hate to do this to you folks, we've got an executive session planned pertaining to potential litigation. Which will mean that we'll have to have all of you leave. leave here for just a few moments, but before we do, I'll ask that the city attorney provide the RCW and purpose for the executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pursuant to RCW 4231101I, the council will now convene an executive session for the purpose of discussing potential litigation with legal counsel. The executive session will last approximately 5 minutes, after which the council will take action in open session.
Very good. Well, with that said, sorry, but we now are in executive session. All right, thank you very much. At this time, our next item on the agenda here is a public hearing. This public hearing is intended to hear from the public with regards to a remand hearing on the issue of Walmart, specifically bench seating and lighting. With that, Mr. Potuck or Mr. Baumberg.
Thank you. This duly noticed public hearing is to accept public testimony regarding the lighting and seating provided by the proposed Walmart located in North Kelsey. City staff has reviewed the documents submitted June 14th and June 24th, 2013. Based on this review, it has been determined that the revised site plan complies with the lighting height standard set forth in the North Kelsey Design Guidelines, Chapter 3, Section A, Number 4, Guideline 3. The illumination level standard contained in that same section will be reviewed against these standards prior to the issuance of the building permit. The seating standards set forth in the North Kelsey Design Guidelines, Chapter 3, Section A, Number 4, Guideline Number 6, have also been met per these revised drawings. Furthermore, the construction drawings that will be submitted as part of their building permit application process will be reviewed for compliance with the above standards. And that will be checked prior to the approval of the building permit. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer that. And if not, you could open the public hearing for public testimony.
Questions, City Attorney Long.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Seeing no questions, I would like to remind the council that this is the process is a quasi-judicial matter, and because of that, the appearance of fairness doctrine applies to your proceedings tonight, just like it did when you entertained this matter first came before you in the spring of 2011. The appearance of fairness doctrine requires that any proceedings of a quasi-judicial nature be fair not only in fact, but also in appearance. The legal standard under the doctrine is whether a disinterested person being appraised of all relevant facts would be reasonably justified in thinking that a particular decision maker's interest or involvement in the matter may affect his or her judgment. And under the appearance of fairness doctrine, the council will now be asked a series of questions. The first has to do with any personal interest that each of you as decision makers may have in the project or the project site. First of all, does any council member have a financial interest in the project or in the underlying property?
No.
Does any council member have a family member who is a party of record in this proceeding?
No.
Does any council member have a personal or familial employment or other business relationship with a party of record?
No.
Does any council member own property within 500 feet of the project site?
No.
Is any council member aware of any other personal interest or involvement with the project, the parties of record, or the property that should be fairly disclosed? The second series of questions deals with your impartiality as decision makers. The first question is any council member aware of any personal bias for or against any party or for or against the project itself?
No.
Has any council member prejudged any of the issues before you tonight? Has any council member not reviewed the record materials for this matter? Is any council member aware of any reason why he or she would not be able to perform his or her duties in an objective, impartial, or fair manner?
No.
The next series of questions deals with ex parte communications. And the first question is, has any council member had any ex parte or one-sided communications regarding this project while the proposal on remand has been pending before the City Council? And that would mean as of the date of the Court of Appeals remand decision on May 20th of this year.
No.
No. That concludes the appearance of fairness disclosure process. It's my obligation to inform any interested party that anyone seeking to challenge a council member's participation in this proceeding is waived if the challenge is not made promptly when the basis for the challenge becomes known. So if any member of the audience or any party of record wants to make an appearance of fairness challenge based on the disclosures that were just made, now is the time to do that or the issue is waived. Seeing none, the last point that I would make to the council is that your decision tonight should be based exclusively on the record information that will be provided to you either in your packet or during the testimony this evening, and your legal determination should be made by exclusive reference to the two provisions of the North Kelsey Design Guideline that are cited in the materials. Does the council have any questions for me? Thank you.
Need to add for the public hearing?
All right.
And then at this time, we will open this item up for public hearing and input from citizens. I do not have anyone signed up at this time to speak before council, but as always, would open up to members of the audience and allow them to speak to council. You just ask that you approach the podium, provide your name and address for the record, and please limit your time to 5 minutes. Council? Seeing no one, do I have a motion to close the public testimony portion?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, the applicant should give an opportunity to present first and then the public after that.
My apologies. All right. That's sure there's more fun anything.
Hi, for the record, Jeff Chambers with PacLand, the project engineer. Address 1505 Westlake Avenue North, Suite 305, Seattle, 98109. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. It's nice to be back. I did want to just, again, call your attention to the two letters that we submitted on behalf of Walmart. The June 14th letter, which originally had a site plan in it, along with a couple exhibits to show some seating and some lighting examples. I don't think it's necessary to really go too far into the seating light. They're just typical examples of what we could use on the project. From the lighting standpoint, we are trying to implement LED lighting. We're not trying to stick to a particular look right now because technology is advancing so quickly that we feel like when we go through the staff process, we'd like to get something that hopefully matches the center a little better. On the June 24th letter, we did update the site plan, and the only reason we updated it was because we realized we had a few lights were covered with some trees under the site plan. And I don't know if it's necessary to really look at the site plan as we're doing this. This is the site plan we originally presented back in April of 2011. Didn't get entered in the record, but now under this process, it's being entered. You'll notice under this site plan that we've actually included the pedestrian lighting along the trail in the back, which is the 14-foot pedestrian lighting. In addition, we have the regular 25-foot lights here in the parking areas per code. We've introduced the pedestrian lighting and seating area down here by the entry along North Kelsey. And the other exhibit in the June 24th letter to help council and staff was the plaza area in front of the building, which showed the benches, the baskets originally asked for during original council meeting. This is the area between the two vestibules as a gathering area. Are there any questions?
That's it. Anybody from the public that would like to address council after seeing or hearing that information? Councilmember Gamble.
Make a motion.
Second.
Actually, the motion should be to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing. Motion's been made by Councilmember Gamble and seconded by Councilmember Cadillac to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Councilmember Gamble.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
All right. Motion has been made by Councilmember Gamble and seconded by Councilmember Cadillac to close the public hearing. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Councilmember Handler?
Yeah, I'd like to move to make an agenda item to take action on tonight to approve an amendment to resolution number 2011-009. In the development agreement, North Kelsey LLC, pursuant to the RCW code.
Okay.
All right, I'll second that for add a petition to the agenda.
All right, motion's been made to add an action item, that is, action to take a motion or make a motion to approve an amendment to resolution number 2011-009. Any questions? Okay, all those in favor of adding an action item, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, with that said, Councilman Hagler, do you have an additional motion then?
Yes. Just go on the comments from citizens. Very close. Okay.
You did, but now you need to be.
Okay.
You've added that action item.
All right. I make a motion to approve an amendment to resolution number 2011-009, approving the development agreement with North Kelsey LLC pursuant to RCW 36.70B.170-200 to expressly address and ensure that project's full compliance with the lighting and seating standards under the North Kelsey design guidelines. Staff will prepare a proposed resolution to this effect for our consideration.
Second.
All right, motion's been made by Councilmember Hamford and seconded by Councilmember Cadillac. As read.
If I could make one minor modification, Mr. Mayor. Staff prepared the resolution for the council's consideration. It contemplated that there would be rebuttal testimony by both the applicant and staff, and since there was no public testimony, there was no rebuttal testimony. The recommendation for the council would be to approve the resolution, if that's your preference, but with the reference to the rebuttal testimony omitted. Staff will come back with a revised resolution for the mayor's signature if you approve that tonight.
So would you mind adding a friendly amendment to that specific wording to your amendment?
Sorry?
Did you get that? Were you able to catch you? City Attorney has said, okay. All right. Councilmember Gantz?
So I will make a motion to a friendly amendment.
There's no motion for a friendly amendment.
I'll make a friendly amendment.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble has made that friendly amendment. And the amendment
accepted
by the first and the second. All right. Thank you. I think we understand what we've got in front of us here. Any other questions? Comments? All right. Okay. With that said, then, all those in favor of the motion to approve an amendment to resolution number 2011-009 approving the development agreement, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very well. Thank you very much. All right. With that, we are now going to move. Now we need to close the vote. hear from comments from citizens. This time is set aside for citizens to speak to City Council on the issue except any quasi-judicial matters subject to a public hearing. We'd ask that you please provide your name and address for the record, and please limit your time to 5 minutes. I have one individual who signed up this evening. Subject is alley closure on Lewis Street. My apologies, I can read Andy, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Andy, if you would, sir, thank you. You may approach the podium.
My name is Roy Redden, and I go by Andy. I live at 229 South Lakeland Street, which is south of the alley. And I guess that's going to be affected. My concern is that the alley is, as far as I was understood, it was already closed down. It felt like it had been abandoned. There had been no city involved in the area there. I've spent money of my own to keep it maintained and keep garbage out of there and cut trees down and that type of stuff. It concerns me to have traffic going through there from a safety point of view, and plus it's, I mean, it's within 5 feet of my house. There's kids playing around there. It was brought to my attention that there's a question of whether if that other alley to Lewis Street is closed, there need to be a place for garbage trucks to come out. But I don't see how a garbage truck could even negotiate that turn to begin with. So it just doesn't make sense that even if why a garbage truck would need to go down to begin with. All the houses along there would be the garbage out on the Lewis Street or Blakely Street or South Street. I've got a concern with the property value if it there's traffic diverted down there. I've been there 20 years, well, since 1991. I've parked there every day since. I don't know why people would need to, like I said, now go down there. It hasn't been used that way since. I think it's a privacy issue, property value. And again, like I said, there was no interest. I had a car parked in front of me at one point and tried to get the police to come out and do something about it, but they said it's not property. Not city property. They couldn't do anything about it, so I just had to kind of deal with it myself. So that's kind of where it's been. My assumption has been that it was it hadn't been abandoned. So.
That's all that I had who had signed up this evening, but again, if there's anyone else who'd like to address council on any issue, you may do so at this time. You're approaching the podium. Please provide your name and address for the record and limit your time to 5 minutes.
Yeah, my name is Carl Hoffman. My address is 17111 35th Avenue Southeast in Bothell, 98012, and I too am here about the issue on Lewis Street alley. I'm going to start with it, so we can talk later on that one. But I own the motor home apartment building, and what my intentions were is to fence off that north-south alley, put a fence in north-south along that alley, because I'm getting tons of traffic through there at all hours of night, and it's basically a security issue for me and my tenants. As far as opening up the alley over Blakely Street, that wasn't really my intention. It's an alley of the same as the one that's existing next to my property on the Snohomish County website. It just shows vacant strips of land without ownership. So they look the same on that site. But as the previous gentleman mentioned, it is just dirt that looks basically abandoned and has been used for parking. And I agree with him. It wouldn't be great to run traffic through there and endanger lots of time. Because I see lots of children. I was there today. There are lots of kids playing in that alley. But also, I'm looking at the whole thing. That alley basically serves one house at the very end of it. And there's a few houses in the very beginning right next to the K&Q Tavern. There's a house and a duplex that gets serviced off that alley. People pull in and park right there. But as far as anything further down, there's not much. So to block that alley would basically stopped a lot of traffic going through. Because basically people got either from Lewis down the alley and got the other side, or vice versa, they cut behind the K&Q and exit onto Lewis Street. Right now, the city is responsible for maintaining that section of the street. And my offer to the city was, if you let me fence it, I'll pave it, fence it, make the whole thing look nice. As far as garbage trucks and that sort of thing, they don't go down that alley. As far as servicing my building, they just come in right off of Lewis Street, pick up the dumpster, and then leave again back onto Lewis. So it's been, for me, and I've talked to the property owner next to me, who was on the other side of the alley, and he was for it when I mentioned trying to fence it off, because he's tired of basically all the traffic coming through. It was worse when that beverage stop was open, and there was a lot more drug traffic going through there. One of the buildings behind me, it used to be, I don't think it is anymore, a house that was selling drugs, and they were using that whole alley as a drive-through, so they'd come in behind the gate and queue, do their little thing, and then exit down next to my building on Lewis Street, and off they'd go. So defensive would basically just make it a pocket. Nobody belongs down there except for the people that live there. And so that was my intention. Again, I don't want to endanger anybody by going down over to Blakely on that stretch. But again, I don't see why that we even need to have that open. It could just be a dead end street. So, and that would stop, I would say, the majority of the traffic. So that's all I got.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, did anyone else like to address council at this time? All right, seeing no one else, we'll move on then to the next item, which is the consent agenda. I will pull item number two. Councilman Hanford.
Motion to approve the consent agenda minus item number two.
Second.
All right, motion's been made by Councilmember Hanford and seconded by Councilmember Camp to approve the consent agenda minus item number two. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
At this time, Councilmember Gamble and I will be recusing ourselves out of abundance of caution, and would ask that the Mayor Pro Tem, Councilmember Tim Williams, address the item number two for the vote.
Chambers, entertain a motion for consent agenda item number two.
So second.
Okay, we have a motion for thing and a second. Any comment? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Six.
That's kind of
50 people left.
Libby's coffee there. All right. Okay, we are on to the first item of new business, and that is an ordinance amending the 2013 budget. This is the first reading. And Diane?
This is our mid-year budget amendment, and we'll probably have another one at the end of the year, December or late November. We're down to two, even though we're locked down as many as you like. Basically, the amendment is for the beginning fund balances. When we did the budget, they were estimates. We now know what the actual fund balances are, so I'd like to amend the budget to the actual fund balances. It just makes it easier and clearer for everyone to see what the ending fund balance should be if they have an exact beginning fund balance. And it makes managing the finances a lot easier. The next four things were items that council had approved at previous meetings. We're just now incorporating them formally into the budget. And that's the money for the Monroe Music Fest, the grants to purchase right-of-way for the pedestrian bicycle trail on Shea Lake Road, the money for the Miracle Field restrooms, and the soil analysis work, the next phase of soil analysis work for the landfill site. And then there are some items that come along after the budget's been adopted that, you know, we don't foresee, and we'd like to include them now. One is we get some money from our health plan for wellness programs, and we hadn't budgeted it because we weren't sure how much it would be. It's a small amount, about $1,000, and so we'd like to use that money. We collected this some last year. We're going to get some more this year, and we'd like to actually use it, so we want to incorporate that into the budget. The police is restricted fund balance for photo enforcement. We can set that money aside to be used strictly for police services. It was an estimated amount of the budget. The actual came in $19,000 more, so we put that in. Public services had have their annual rate increase September 1st of every year, so we added $30,000 to the appropriation that we were going to pay them. We are not passing that increase on to the citizens. There will be no garbage rate increase. We had to pay $4,100 to get some programming done so we can manipulate the sales tax information that we received from the state so that we can do different work on it and to see, you know, what the trends are, whether it's retail, wholesale services. We monitor that kind of information to see how we are developing economically. Jeff Sachs uses that information. I use that information. And staff uses it to project the police's COLAs tied to that. And so we really need that information on a more detailed level and service level. The police vehicle was wrecked and replaced with insurance, so we need to show that transaction in the budget, and it wasn't in there for taking the school mitigation fund out of the budget because that's an agency fund, and we typically don't budget for agency type pass through things. There are two items for construction projects. One is for the Ingram Water Main and the East Fremont projects, and others for East Fremont project. That's just timing. These construction projects are still within their project budget, but it's the timing of when we thought the expense was going to come. We thought it would be next year, but they're ahead of schedule, so they're spending the money now, and we need to appropriate. And we have the funds for it. And the final thing is the original budget had some land sales projected in it for the North Kelsey property. It's hard to predict when those things are going to come in, so I'd like to take that out of the budget because it's better to under-promise and over-deliver. It'd be better if it comes in and we don't have budgeted than to be counting on it and then say, oh, it didn't come in, because then it looks like we're way under on our revenues. And also, it would show that we should have done some transactions, some paying off of debt that we didn't do because we didn't get the money. So I think it just makes a cleaner budget if we just take that out. And those are the changes that are in this budget amendment. And if you have any questions on any of it, please let me know. You know, if you want me to talk in detail about anything or if I'm not clear on any of it.
Councilor Gettleman.
Thank you. And I just had a comment. I want to thank you. This was very easy to read. Nothing was a surprise. As you said, we talked about many of these items, if not all of them, previously. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the way you laid it out. I appreciate you updating us through the last few months on things that were coming or things that were happening. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Gettleman. Councilmember Gettleman.
Ditto.
Thank you very much.
Councilmember Hanford. Well, Councilmember Hammer.
Make a motion to approve the first reading of an ordinance by the City of Monroe, Washington, amending the budget for fiscal year 2013 to account for actual beginning fund balances and new revenues and expenditures.
Second. Okay, motion's been made by Councilmember Hammer and seconded by Councilmember Gearing to approve as first reading. For a first reading of an ordinance in the City of Monroe, Washington, amending the budget for fiscal year 2013 to account for actual beginning fund balances and revenues and expenditures. Any other comments or questions? Accolades? No? All right. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. I will give an accolade. Thank you very much, Diane. Appreciate it. All right. Next on the agenda here for new business is Sky Meadow Water. We will have a slight or a very short executive session, or before that, I think we'll set the stage with a couple comments.
Thank you. As you're aware, we've been working on this for a long time. And we think we've come to an agreement on, at least at the staff level, as far as the city is concerned, and the board of directors for the Sky Meadow Water Association. Mostly led by our operation maintenance manager, Jacob Roberts. So he did a really wonderful job getting this through with the people over there at Sky Meadow Water Association. In essence, it has us taking over their water system, including any remaining cash that they have after after they pay off all their debts that they currently have. Right now, we're anticipating that to be $160,000. That money in the agreement has us spending that money on improvements for that system, and that's basically, we've been talking about that for years, which is an intertie basically where the high school is across SR 522 to improve flow to their system, and that will take most of that money. The other big issue is that when we started this process, they wanted guaranteed rates from the city for a considerable amount of time, based on a little bit of extra money for handling the water that came from the city of Everett. We've negotiated with them, and right now all they're interested in is a guarantee with quotes around it of the 1.5 multiplier, that out-of-city rates versus in-city rates. So the city council can set rates wherever they want. They just want to make sure that they don't get charged more than 1.5 times that the city charges its customers. And that's basically the agreement in a nutshell. Any questions? Or we're going to go into executive session before you ask questions.
We'll go into executive session prior. All right. With that, then I'll turn to City Attorney Lell to provide the RCW and reason for the executive session. And I'll see the time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pursuant to RCW 4230.110.19, the council will now convene an executive session for the purpose of discussing potential litigation or legal risk with legal counsel. The executive session will last approximately 5 minutes, after which the council is anticipated to take action in open session.